Hi, I called you yesterday concerning Donald Duckert.
Yes, you did. Yes, that's right.
Right. I did try to call him after I called you.
Right.
I wasn't able to get hold of him. But anyway, I've been looking at that list again, you know, and there's, let's see, I've uploaded a fair bit of stuff online. Let's see, it's this one here. There's quite a... I mean, I don't know... You see, I know a lot of people from childcare. I know a lot of sex offenders from adult care. I know a lot of sex offenders when I was a child in care. And I know they're dangerous people, even after they've been caught, because some of them still seek to sexually exploit children and also cause very serious harm to adults such as me, who continue to seek closure, okay, and justice especially. And they have done me a lot of harm, including as an adult, and that includes my own family. Nice. Let's have a look. I've got loads of names. There's one here I'm looking at is Senia. Maybe I don't know Senia, but it's a similar name to someone I've met when she was attending the National Schizophrenics Fellowship. I noticed that they do have sex offenders there because they told me themselves, as with Barony Contact Point. Right. Now, I had a carer called Pavlina Kapikova, but the Uckerts are the most interesting. Senia is one of them. The Kerrs, let me have a look. But I've already sent my information to the Crown Office, because it is essential. I mean, there is a lot of investigation going on in relation to the childcare, the abuse of children in childcare, and the community in schools.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if you have a Jim McKenzie anywhere and who is active in your church, especially around children, because if it's the same James McKenzie I knew from when I was a child, he would most certainly enjoy being around children.
Would he be a member of the clergy?
I wouldn't say clergy. He might be gay clergy, from what I've heard from my brother. Okay, but he's actually a teacher, or was a teacher. I'm in the process of digging into the Labour Party as well, because I've recognised quite a few people there, and I tell you what, there was a guy called Nick Gardner, who's also the councillor for my ward now, and he actually confessed to me, I'm not a priest or anything, I told you I'm an atheist now, but anyway, he confessed to ripping the church off up in Aberdeen financially, and he worked for gangs of delinquents. I wouldn't say they were delinquent children, but young. And perhaps, I mean, when you deal with sex offenders, usually the ages vary. But he actually used his influence. He told me himself, and I'm quite surprised. I couldn't believe it at the time, but I was under a cosh at the time. But later on, I've been told many things by people, including organisations that have been shut down as a result of Mr. Gardner's dealings, like, I can't remember what the word they call, but it was basically pilfering charities, the funds for charities, and a lot of people are very concerned that he's going around closing down charities. Well, he did, I don't say he still is, but he closed down charities because he misappropriated funding. Now, there's one in particular, one person who worked for one of these charities, volunteered, not paid, volunteered. She was a volunteer, so she's not grumbling about a loss of income. She basically said, I told her that he is working in an official capacity or semi-official capacity, I gave her both options, for Black Triangle, and Safe Haven, which is a drop-in service for sex offenders. And she said, well, he shouldn't be doing that now, he's a counsellor. And she was quite happy to hear that. So I tend to give people information that I feel can use that information. But at the moment, I need to discover more about just how far these sex offenders and other criminals have, you know, lodged them. How deeply lodged are they in the religious communities and the local governments at the very least? Because I had there's a guy called Darren Ritchie. There's a woman called Eileen. I've seen her a few times at Turfican Street, I think it is. And she and Darren Ritchie, Raymond Hardman, were sitting there having a conversation about dropping the age of consent to 14. Okay? Now, I was just sitting there. They took me for an imbecile. A lot of people do. I don't really like it because it's denied me a lot of opportunities. But at the same time, well, I've managed to collect a lot of information. But anyway, that was prior to 2004. Now, they said that it's too soon to push for that. And one of them said, any chance of getting it lower sooner? And not that long ago, I don't know how long ago, a member of parliament actually said, I think it was a female from the Conservative Party in Westminster was seeking to have the age dropped to 14. And they were discussing as to whether the person would do that for them. See, so it's quite a mixture. There's female predator paedophiles and male in the community. And I'm very ill. I'm just keeping... I don't know if you caught it, I used to be a Christian. And I think you make a pledge or something. Well, this is what I promised. That I would lift the lid on all this business. And I even tried to do so when I was a child, but I was being heavily sedated and beaten and sodomised in my sleep. Which brings me back to James McKenzie. I know he's associate of Councillor Nick Gardner. Okay.
Right. Well, he's certainly not in our directory.
Okay.
I mean, you see, it could well be that, you know, he's in one of a member of a congregation in one of our churches, but we here at the Diocesan office don't hold records of all the names of the members of the congregation. We've got the names of the clergy and the vestry secretary and the treasurer. We know those names, but there's nothing on in our directory. There's actually no one called McKenzie in our okay. directory. I've just done a search.
Right.
Just be a member of the congregation.
I'll tell you something. I actually first saw him at Barony Contact Point because I was actually invited there by some can't remember much about that person. But he said it's for people who are homeless. And I was in a homeless hostel at the time. I was in around about 91 to 93. And I think I saw James McKenzie. It's been a while, and I was still suffering from the trauma, the cosh and so forth. And they kept asking me if I knew him. And he would ask me if I knew him. Don't you remember me from anywhere was one of the things he said. But anyway, he lived near your old St. Paul's Church. That was back in the 90s. Or he frequented a property that was there. Because I was there, Fred Sloan, I don't know if you know him, but he's a brother called Robert Sloan. Fred Sloan actually took me to your, I don't know what you call it, a vestry or something, where your priests live.
You know they live in properties provided by
and it's called a vestry, isn't it? Is it a vestry? Can you give me the proper name for it, please?
They're called various different things. It depends what what priest lives where. I mean,
it's the one on Jeffrey Street. You know, up from Old St. Paul's.
I know Old St. Paul's. I haven't been in the shop all that long, so I don't know all.
Well, let me just educate you right now with some historical fact. Frederick Sloan took me to that house. I've been there twice recently. I was in Old St. Paul's looking for someone who I've seen in the area who may be a person who, as a teacher, molested me at school. Right? Now, but aside that, Frederick Sloan, between 91 and 93, took me there to that house, which is just along from what's it called? Old St. Paul's. You know, it's near the Waverley Station at the back, where the Queen's train pulls up. But anyway, he was telling me that there's people here that you know from when you were a child in the homes. And if we do this right, we can get a lot of money out of these people. Fred took me there more than once, actually. And on one occasion, I remember him asking me if I knew that one, because that one looked very, very nervous. Okay?
Right. So
Fred was into extortion. At that time, I was, because of what my sister had told me, I was under the impression that I was actually in a Catholic institution and not actually the Episcopal Church. It was only later that, I mean, certainly the effect of the Koshic can make you basically very, very retarded, even though you're not really, but you can have the same problems as a person who's very slow. I'm still affected to some extent, but the thing is, there's a lot of people I think are still in Edinburgh. Well, I've seen there's Nick Garner who can connect me to a lot of people, my counsellor, but at the moment I'm going to approach I've already sent letters via email. You know what is it that write to them site online, which one of the council people told me to use that form that you can write to them all at once, and I've done it. But Jim McKenzie, this Jim McKenzie, they like to keep themselves looking young, and he was getting into a stair, which is further up from the priest's house. Okay, I can't remember which door it was, but it was nearer the, it's just as the tenements begin. And it was one of those doors, I would say probably between either the first, second or third door. I think it was a stair door. So I see him go, and Fred was with me. And Fred says, "I'm sorry, I didn't know that you were going to be here." And that was the fella that I met in Barony, who was asking me, and others were asking me if I knew him or remembered him from anywhere. But Bernadette Mooney, who ran that institution, admitted to me she's a paedophile. Colin Murray, who works for EVOC, which is the Edinburgh voluntary organisation, down by Pilrig, just down Pilrig area, and he said yes she is when I asked if she was telling the truth, and he said yes. So it seems they've got a bit of a monopoly here on the adult care, and they certainly had the monopoly on child care when I was a child. So it's very important that I get these people. You know, I have to bring them to justice. I've already been digging into other charities, where I find a lot of them tend to be lodged. I tend to charities relating to sex abuse tends to have at least one. It could be female or it could be male. But I was even went to victim support, and they put one of them right in front of me, and I knew right away what kind of person I was dealing with, because the trauma is that great, you never forget how these people behave around you. Even when they're caught, you recognise their behaviour, how they behave when they've been caught, and things like that. And I think when I mentioned to her that I was a victim of child sex abuse, and it's helped getting help for the historical child sex abuse thing, that she began to show herself for what she was. So anyway, I'll give you a bit of information.
Yes.
And I hope you take it seriously, because you're also covered by the Archbishop, aren't you?
No, we're not.
All right.
No, what we have is something called a primus.
Yeah, I've had that discussion before. Yeah, the primus. And is he based in Perth or St Andrews?
The diocese is the diocese of St Andrews, and I think it's Dunblane, and I think is it Dunblane? But it's St Andrews diocese, but the cathedral is in St Andrews. Mm-hmm. And I think his office is in Perth. But I think he lives somewhere else.
Okay.
He's in the directory, I think.
Well, I had.
That's the primus.
I had a look around. I haven't been to the fella's door because I don't really like people who use their own home as an office. Kind of makes it difficult to go around knocking on their doors, you see. But the thing is, I've discovered that I think he's in Perth. I think it's Dunkeld or Perth. It's been a while since I got here.
Yes, it could be Dunkeld, that's right.
But, it's been a while, but I've got a note of it somewhere.
Yeah.
I was actually invited to a memorial for the children who were shot in that school. But the invitation came from a woman who would rant about satanic rituals, and I know that most people use that as a smokescreen, okay? But I mean, obviously, I don't quite understand. I mean, I don't really understand why you practice the consumption of, well, symbolically consuming human flesh and blood. I find it, that to me is as satanic as the things that these people talk about anyway. You know, but
well,
the thing
is, that's a personal matter, and actually, personally, I do find that.
Well, I find it very offensive that people can gather around and symbolically consume the flesh and blood of a human being. But anyway,
let me finish, please. I could have a debate with you about that,
let's not confuse the issue. But the thing is, this woman would rant to me about satanic rituals and ley lines and things like that, and she came across to me one day and said that thing, off the database response that social workers have been given by the government, that they basically did as their conscience dictated, basically, but not as clearly as that, and I realised there was something very wrong there. So I didn't attend the Dunblane Memorial. And the other thing is, what was it? I'd actually heard some people, some of whom were speaking of a man who had firearms. He even had your pump action shotgun. But like it was an automatic sort of riot gun, more like a riot gun. I think they call it a scatter gun, but it's a very powerful shotgun used for controlling crowds. And he, according to these people, he actually had one of them. And this is before, long before the Dunblane massacre. And they were all talking about someone called Hamilton. And you'll probably, I mean, if you had a word with the police, you would probably find that I've been speaking about things that connect with that that business. Because there's people used the word, even when they were speaking to my sister, who was involved in child exploitation and drug dealing, as is her, was her boyfriend and her boyfriend's brother, because she's told me that much, and I've also witnessed her brother dealing drugs. Now, it seems I've been stuck in the middle of a circle that could very well explain a great deal in relation to Mr. Hamilton, although I only know the odd bit of information that I've managed to pick up. Because there was a guy called, they call him Foster, from Dundee, Whitfield. He was going about with a woman called Margaret McDougall and George Spalding. And they were concerned about, they said they were very concerned about a fella with firearms that he had, and they were saying he's got lots of firearms. And I heard a story about them shooting sheep as well, just going out and shooting sheep. Maybe you should have a word. I don't like the police coming to my door, because I was actually sexually abused by police officers and run by one of them, as was a girl called Tanya Arthur, now Tanya Brown. But her brother was murdered, I think it was December 2012. But me and her were taken round the doors by older prostitutes during the 70s. Are you still there? Right, anyway, so that would be interesting. They said they were very concerned. So this guy Foster and Margaret McDougall, her friend was already known to the police, social work, because she was complaining about having her children taken off her. And there was also another woman who lived in Ashville Place in Aberdeen. She said her name was Maureen Sheen, or Maureen Sheen. I used to go out with her as well. But there's quite a bit of, so I think that when you're exploited as a child, especially if it's very important people or very important paedophiles, you tend not to escape that kind of environment. I mean, I've lived in it, and what was described by someone, that was Colin Murray, said that I was in a constant state of flux, and there's very little chance he'll be able to put everything together. That was here in Edinburgh during the early 90s. Colin Murray works at Evoc. The other thing is, there was someone in Gayfield Square, that Steve Murray, whom I filmed, who took me to a flat in Gayfield Square, top floor. It was full of people smoking pot, and I don't know what else, and there was a starving child in the flat, because one of them turned up and said, you have to get feed the child, because, you know, people are complaining about the scheme, and it's been a few days now. So I went and reported a hungry child. So I was getting attacked quite a lot after that. I passed the information on to Colin Murray. At the time, I didn't realise that Colin Murray was actually Steve Murray's brother. Or so they said. I'm not entirely sure. It's been such a long time. But as you can see, you know, there's also Alistair McCormack. I filmed him. He's in John Lewis. He uses the cafe at St. Mary's Cathedral, top of, you know, just at the near the side of John Lewis. He tried to get me interested in child pornography around the same time, and I left. Where he lived, he had a drug dealer, and one of his friends tried to attack me at Tesco's. Had a knife, well, it's wrapped in a £5 note, a sharp, a Stanley knife blade. I think they used to wrap it with a fiver. So, you know, there's quite a lot of people that are active. I went to Berlin and Holland first. with Thomas Innes Hardy, who stayed in the Innes, his hotel room, and left me to wander the streets, despite me agreeing to take him to Holland and Berlin if he would take me to see the diamond museums, the remains of Hitler's bunker. Well, that was his infatuation. Not as a lot, I told you before that a lot of Nazis who hate the gays tend to be gay themselves. But anyway, on the second trip when we went to Berlin, I forgot my wallet and things, went back and found a child prostitute running out of the room. I caught him by surprise because I had to return. Okay, I ended up getting arrested for it. Well, not arrested for that, but almost detained at the airport, and it was me that actually reported it to the German authorities. So there you go. You've got a lot of scum in your area. This is Edinburgh, the Lothians. But I'd say the whole of Scotland. I had this problem when I went to South America. And the FBI are not shy. I've spoken to them. They don't deny all these things happening. They've been quite open. And I recorded them as well. They didn't mind that. Okay?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of junk here in Edinburgh. There's a lot of rubbish in Scotland. In the various parties, you know. So I think you should really seriously start to dig things up and expose what you have. Okay? Because
yeah.
I'm uploading everything online. I'm leaving it there. I'm not very well. I'm struggling to get out of the house much these days. So I can't really see me going on for very much longer, unless I'm mistaken, but I don't really feel I'm good for much longer. Just like my sister. So what I would like basically is the Jim McKenzie bit, if you could do some checking for me, because I know the gays like to be a part, they feel left out and very much want to be a part of the church. So I'm sure you'll find them in amongst your people, if not members of your church, then at least a friend of a friend. Okay? The last time I knew of James McKenzie's whereabouts was I've got his address as being 4 Blackhall Wynd. When I went to that house, I was told it was actually number 5. I recognised the woman. I couldn't remember too much where I'd seen her before, but I did recognise her. And when I was leaving, because he never answered the door, I spoke to the gardener from the old folks' home when I was a child, at the children's home just at the bottom of the hill, which we could see the old folks' home from the home. We looked through the trees. And I spoke to him, and it's been uploaded, it's online. Me speaking to the gardener. So, anyway, I've already uploaded our conversation yesterday. I've uploaded quite a lot of stuff. Okay, I'm just dumping it all online, and I've also sent other recordings that I feel are far more important to addresses in Europe. I even carried some of them when I went across before I knew what Innes was up to, and even after I continued to travel when I was able. So there's stuff everywhere. I mean, people are pricking their ears back and starting to listen to me, you know. So I think it's a good idea that maybe you should do the same and have a really good look through all of your churches, your staff. And the other thing is that there's been some talk about that place where there's organ art. It's an organ art. Have you heard of organ art? It's just at the back of the Jury Inn. That was mentioned to me. Okay, more recently. I think you should take a good look at all of your members, even your volunteers and what have you, because they can get in anywhere. I mean, I was actually recruited by children, including my own family when I was a child, and even old residents who'd left the homes would come back and sexually abuse children. So it's never stopped, it's never been dealt with. And I don't like organisations, especially incas.org.uk, who want to do things behind closed doors. I want it out in the open, because I am too ill to to have it behind closed doors. And they've excluded me, they want to exclude me. I uploaded a recording just this morning where there's a fella called Ivor, and he was mentioned by my sister a long time ago, around the time I heard about Hamilton. I think you'll find some recordings of mine online where I'm actually discussing Hamilton, but I'm thinking of it as a home.
Yeah.
But I end up calling it a gay hotel, a spiritual retreat. I thought, well, the person that that discussion was made with claimed to have been from Hamilton. That was after I asked, what's this about Hamilton? So I get the name change treatment, or the location change treatment. So I think it may very well have been the same person. You know how those people go on and say, well, they think there was an accomplice. I can't really comment on that. But I think a lot of people at least knew that Hamilton was unstable back then. Okay?
Yeah.
That's all I can say for sure. But I know a lot of people who gave me that much information to say that are all involved in the child sex trade and the illegal drugs trade, including my own sister. Okay?
Yeah.
Right, thank you very much. And do please look into James McKenzie.
Right.
Because it is important.
Yes.
Right, thank you very much, and goodbye.